I'll tell you, it is always exciting to talk about contracts in sports. I've said this many of times, my favorite day of the sports calendar, and I know that I'm weird, but my favorite day of the sports calendar is July 1st, the start of the NBA offseason. I take that over the Super Bowl. I take that over any game imaginable. And, you know, I want to get into that and also, you know, some of the major baseball contracts going on with our friend. He is the managing partner at Eisner Amper. It is Michael Bright. You have heard, you've seen him all over the place, nationally, locally, and he joins us here on the Metro by T-Mobile phone line. Michael, thanks for the time. How are you today?
I am doing great. Thank you, Jeremy. I'm glad to be here.
So am I the only person that you've talked to that says, like, Super Bowl, playoffs, put that secondary to day one of the NBA free agency? Because I feel like that might be kind of up your wheelhouse.
You know what? You're only very unique, very one of them. But with regard to your comment about July 1, and you know, the basketball salaries always seem to be outsized. When you look at a basketball team, obviously you have less players, and they share a larger percentage of obviously the team's revenue. So the basketball players' salaries usually are the ones that people are talking about. But with the most recent signings, you know, everyone is talking about now.
Yeah, absolutely. You're gonna have a lot of, you know, potential movement and guys that are up, you know, starting with Kevin Durant and going from there. All right, we've had some major baseball salaries, so let's start here. Mike Trout gets 12 years, I believe, reported $430 million, re-signed with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. So factoring in that money and the California state tax, how much of that $430 million does he get to keep?
So we're calculating he gets to keep between $200 and $205 million of that, you know, in California. And there's some question whether he's a state resident in California. There's some question whether he's in New Jersey. California is the highest tax state in the union, in the country, at 13%. New Jersey's right behind them. So in all likelihood, it'll still be around just over $200 he'll keep. He's obviously in the highest federal bracket at 37%. So it takes a major, major bite, obviously, out of this $430 million contract due to federal and state taxes.
Just a general question before we get into more specifics. How often are these decisions made based off of things like, and we live here in Florida, and I know the Heat, for example, they sell state income tax, no state income tax. Like, how much is that a determining factor with athletes?
So it is very interesting factor, and some people are moving. Florida is a great state. You see a lot of professional golfers moving to Florida and a lot of other professional athletes. Statistics say that in the Northeast, in the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area, around 1,000 people a day are moving to Florida because of the advantageous or no state taxes. With athletes, athletes obviously are based due to family reasons, they're based where they are. So could it be Mike Trout in California? And so they usually don't move. And this, to me, is obviously a huge issue because that differential in state income tax is enormous, especially for the professional athletes. So it is my prediction that you're going to see more and more people moving to less tax states. The only other issue that we have to consider is that Mike Trout plays in baseball stadiums across the country in other major cities. So he has to, what they have to call, allocate his playing days per state. So when he files his state tax returns, he has to file, or really say he has to play in Tennessee, or he has to play in New York, etc. So he has a certain tax he has to pay in each of those states. He gets credited in his home state in California, but he has to allocate his income based on where he plays. So we call it, there's a bit of an offset to that, but still, if he moves from California, he will have substantial savings if he goes to a lower tax state.
Michael Bright joining us with Eisner Amper, talking about some of the major sports contracts and the tax ramifications of those. So, Mike, more likely, this is the new norm with baseball where we just see these outsized contracts, or there could be a work stoppage in which we see the contracts get scaled back.
So in my view, look, when Bryce Harper signed recently, that was the largest contract in history, and then all of a sudden Mike Trout eclipses him. So we go from $330 million to $430 million. I mean, I think without question, in the next 10 years or so, in the next decade, you're going to see a $1 billion contract for a professional athlete.
Wow.
Right. So those are huge, huge numbers, and I don't think it's out of the question. Right now, we're enjoying some labor peace in all of the four major sports. It seems like there seems to be consumption by the viewer and by the public with respect to every major sport. So I don't see that coming. The only issue we are going to have is, you know, a lot of people would tell you, and the economists would say, we currently have an inverted yield curve and a recession is coming. So if a recession comes, who knows what's going to happen and then how that's going to affect labor peace, how that's going to affect the revenues of major sports. Most of the time, they seem to be recession-free, but who knows in the next coming years what will happen.
If there is that $1 billion contract in the next 10 years, is there somebody you have in mind now that may be that recipient, or is it somebody that we don't know necessarily because of, you know, 10 years from now?
I would say it's someone, Jeremy, that we don't know. You look in professional basketball, what's going on now, there's been a tremendous upheaval with regard to who everyone is watching now. And the names that come up are Giannis at the Milwaukee Bucks, and now you have the superstar Zion Williamson in Duke. And he's only 19 years old, and Giannis isn't much older than that. So I would absolutely think it's someone that we don't know of yet, a superstar athlete with superstar potential, with incredible athletic skills. When LeBron came in, LeBron was known as the best athlete to come into the NBA. I mean, Michael Jordan at 6'6", 220. LeBron comes in at 6'8", 250. Zion is 6'7", 285 and can dunk as high and is a more bigger vertical leap than LeBron. So the athletes that are being developed, that are, I mean, the skills that they have are just incredible. And I just think it's going to be someone who may be 15 years old right now and will sign that $1 billion contract.
Michael Bright joining us, managing partner, Eisner Amper. He knows a ton about sports and contracts and, you know, obviously the tax ramifications, which is what Eisner Amper does as a top accounting, tax, and consulting firm. We'll get to them in a second. But so it's interesting, Michael. We had this week the NFL decided to basically do what most of us wanted to do in terms of the replay. We all know about the really bad call in the NFC Championship game. And now that you've got pass interference calls that are going to be reviewable, and even if they're non-calls, I am wondering, is this a shift in part because of the continued legalization in gambling that all these sports are going to have to be more transparent?
So in my view, it's not. I don't know if it factored into it at all. I mean, there was a huge, huge uproar, obviously, down south in New Orleans when that play happened. And it was at a critical, critical juncture in the game. I mean, right then, a lot of people thought that New Orleans would kick a field goal and the game would be over and they would be going to the Super Bowl. Everyone saw it. It was so obvious that the NFL had to take action. I think what contributed to their decision is that we have a new league. The AAF is now implementing various replay rules and other rules to make the game more watchable, to make it faster, and to make it more transparent. So I think it was obviously an obvious play that they had to take action, and they see another league that, who knows, may be a minor league for the NFL down the road, that they said, we need to take action. Look what this other league is doing, and let's put in this replay rule so we don't have to go through this again.
Interesting. College basketball tournament going on right now. What are the rules and regulations that we should know of in terms of if you win X amount of money, you get to keep all the money versus, you know, putting it on your tax return?
Well, the rules are that you have to claim it. We're not going to mention, nickel dime poker game here, but with respect to putting it on your tax return, those are the rules. It's the same thing when you do any type of sports gambling, with respect to going to a horse racing track or doing any professional sports gambling. The rules with respect to these NCAA pools now, the pools are getting larger and larger and larger. We used to hear this, obviously, with the football, what they call suicide pools. If you would then be able to predict those winners throughout the season, there could be a $10,000, there even could be a $100,000 pot at the end of the rainbow if someone wins that. And those, obviously, all of those earnings, all of those monies are taxable.
Michael Bright joining us, Eisner Amper. Great information all around. Michael, what do you want everyone to know about Eisner Amper?
So Eisner Amper, we're one of the largest leading accounting tax and advisory firms in the country. We're now over 1,600 people helping clients every day in the sports and entertainment world, financial services world, the real estate world. We are, 10 offices nationally, 14 internationally and growing. And we're here to help our clients. That's what we're all about.
And one more thing, and I just went through this with my taxes. There have been some changes, and I ask this in a completely apolitical way, but there have been some changes in terms of, some of the tax code and deductions and stuff like that. Anything that we should be aware of that may be different than last year in terms of when you're, working with Eisner Amper or filing taxes?
Well, a couple of things. I think, it really did help for the corporations going to a 21% tax, so that's helpful. But for the personal, for John Q. public out there, they should know that their property tax and their state income tax withholdings now have a cap to them. And that's what we just spoke about previously, why a lot of people are thinking about where they're living. Do we move to a lower taxed state simply because we're not getting a deduction for the state and local taxes? So that is one. Mortgage deduction also has been limited. But besides that, they raised the standard deduction. So again, as it relates to the middle class, they probably won't be affected. As it relates to a higher earner, they probably will be affected because of these caps. But it's something to think about with regard to your domicile and your residence, because a lot of people, I will tell you, are thinking about it now. We're advising a lot of people on transfers and what to do and how to keep the proper records just in case you get audited. There are several apps that you could use that could prove your residency during the year, and a lot more people are using those.
Michael, absolute pleasure talking to you, getting to learn more about Eisner Amper, and really enjoyed it. Love to do it again.
Thank you, Jeremy. I enjoyed it as well.